traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, asking you to enjoy the day today, the equestrian day today. We've got an International Equine Report starting now, and we got a lot to talk about. It's going to be pretty much about Kentucky Derby. That was a week ago, and so we're kind of excited about that. It was very interesting, race to get there. We had how they get there and followed them all the way up until the Kentucky Derby, and that was exciting in itself, and a lot of good things are happening in the horse industry, not only for the thoroughbreds, but for the show horses and the sales and everything worldwide. The economy may be going up, with the cost of living and everything, but the horse business is getting better and better. That's what I like about it. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which way to say that, but what it has done, the economy has created a situation to where horse people are really thinking about where they're going to race, where they're going to show, what sales they're going to, where they can cut back, how they can make ends meet, and everything like that. And what that's done, it's kind of like forced the horse people in our equestrian world to really second-guess every decision they make. And the results of that second guessing means that a lot of people are staying closer to home. They're staying in local shows, regional shows, more than they are if they would be traveling, like, say, from Florida to New York or Florida to Pennsylvania or to California or to Europe even. And that makes it good because the number of horses that, for example, that are showing locally last year at this time, minimal. We'll say, for example, you get 40 to 50 horses in a local show, that type of thing. Well, now what's happening is we're getting 100 horses because they're not traveling as much. It's not in their budget to go out with diesel prices and, the economy the way it is with food, hotel rooms, that type of thing. And so that's making the local shows a lot better. And it's gonna work out. It's really gonna work out because the quality is staying good at the local shows, regional shows, and then you can plan it for the big shows like the national championships and that type of thing. And so that's what we see happening in the horse business. And same thing with racing. Racing where you think you might be racing here, in Kentucky one week and then. Next thing you know, you're to Pimlico or you're to Saratoga or New York or to Belmont, or to Chicago or to Texas or wherever. You're really thinking about that traveling, and you're kind of weighing out the financial end of it. And so consequently, it's making people, a little more wary of what they do and how they do it. And the tracks are also coming along, too, by raising the purse money. A lot of the tracks are offering good purse money, bonuses and everything, that type of thing, like Pimlico, for example, coming up during the Preakness Week. They're offering $100,000 in bonus money to the trainers that stay there and race all 5 weeks. And so, that's an added incentive type of thing. In California, they're paying people to ship in. Or the horses to the tracks, trying to help them out a little bit. So it's getting exciting, and you got to really know your horses and know your trainers and know your geography in order to watch that. And so that's what's good about the business now, so that's exciting. So we're going to jump into the Derby here. We had a huge, huge upset in the Kentucky Derby this year. It was amazing how this all came about. You enter horses into the Derby, and what they do is they go in and they draw, and they get 20 horses in for the Derby. And then they also have two also eligibles that they put in. And so this year in the Derby, Wayne Lucas. He had Ethel Road, and what he did is he came in and he scratched Ethel Road from the Derby. And he didn't think he could win the Derby with it, so he did the right thing, and he took his horse out of it, which his owners agreed, and they went along with it. So then that left a horse, which became the 21 horse, to come in called Rich Strike. And this horse is a nice horse. He's a chestnut colt by Keen Ice out of a Gold Strike by Smart Strike Mare. Foaled April 25th, 2019 in Kentucky. The breeder was Calumet Farm. Owner is Red TR Racing, LLC. Eric Reed is the trainer. Eric Reed is a great trainer. He is a great trainer, always has been, always will be. And not many people you can say this about, but Eric Reed is as good of a trainer as he is a person. And he's just a tremendous guy, good to these people, good to everybody around him. He's good for the business. A while back, lightning struck a barn at his farm and killed several of his horses. So, you know, it's been a rough road for him, but he's always, always been right there in his business. And, we were sitting there thinking about, he got in on that late scratch from Lucas, and it was literally on Friday morning, mid-morning, that they told him he was going to be in the Derby because of Lucas's scratch. So, you lead up to the Derby thinking that you're going to be a spectator there to watch the Derby because you're not in the Derby. And then all of a sudden, in a 24-hour period, you find out that you're getting into the Derby, you're going to be a part of the Derby. What's your race strategy? What are you going to do? You got 24 hours to plan all this out with your rider, with your owner. You got to be spot on, ready to go, which they were. And then, just kind of take it from there and, hope the best happens. And so we got to looking through here. A lot of these horses are good. And some of these horses, Rich Strike has ran against in the past. And so you come in and you look at a horse like Todd Pletcher and McDonagle. He's got the number one stall coming out of that gate. He was at 10-1. Happy Jack in 2 was 30-1. Epicenter, which really is a good horse and everything. And he ended up running second in the race. He was at 7-2. So a lot of people really liked him. Nice horse, really schooled real well. I was surprised how well he ran. He had a long road to go through there, and I was hoping that he might get up there and do something to win. That was a Steve Asmussen horse that was right there. It was Steve's time. I think he's 0-24, 0-25 now. That type of thing. Then we had another horse that was a good horse, Zandon. Zandon was a nice horse that Chad Brown trained, and he was at 3-1. So you had the 7-2 and 3-1, right there in the mix of things. But then you enter Smart Strike. This horse ended up going off like at 80-1. He paid $163.80. It was just unbelievable how he was running. Just unbelievable. It looked like at the head of the stretch, Epicenter, Zandon, Simplification, and Modonegal were going to be right there at the wire. And they fanned out, across there. And then picking his way through the crowd and just unbelievable ride by the jockey on Rich Strike. He was just amazing how this guy rode. He was just unbelievable trying to, get him there. And he did everything that he could. He had all kinds of troubles come down through the lane. And Sonny Leone rode a great race and just close to the finish line, He makes a dramatic move, and he ends up winning by 3/4 of a length. So that was exciting there in itself. And I've watched it 100 times over, and every time that I've watched it, I get just as excited as I did the first time that I saw it. So Sonny Leon is a good rider. Smart Strike's a nice horse, but it just goes to show you it's the Kentucky Derby and it's a horse race and anything can happen. And one of the things that we were talking about after the race was over is all the horses on the Derby prep all the Derby prep races. They all had a good plan. Each trainer came a different way, from different states and different tracks. And some stayed at a track and ran a series of races, to get into the Derby. Others traveled around from track to track to get into the Derby. So it was exciting, to see when all these horses got together and we found out the top 20 points earners in the road to the Derby. And it was good. And it worked out good, I think. I really do. I think the odds on them, when at post time, you were looking at Epicenter and you were looking at Messier. You were looking, at a lot of good horses in here, Zandon, you were looking at. And they all had legitimate reasons for why they were going off at the odds and why they were the favorites. And like I said, it's a 20 horse race. Rich Strike, he draws the 20 post, which, not the greatest post in the world until now. But what happened with him is they broke from the gate, and it was interesting. It was a cavalry charge like they've had in years past. The horses went out in different sections. They were all together. They were racing. It was the fastest quarter and fastest half mile in Derby history. And all those horses that were on the lead, it was just unbelievable, times that they were running. And so I'm sitting there watching a race and thinking like, oh my goodness. I said, this is crazy. They came out 23-5, 24-9, 26-2. 25-6. It was just, fantastic what they were doing, with their running. It was 2:02 was the final time, which it's a good time, about average, I would say, over the years. But when you come out and go 21-7, 45, 110, and then 136 for the mile, at the mile marker, I knew they were done up on the front end. They were done. You can't run in the Derby and run that many with that many horses, run those kind of fractions, and then go the mile in 136 and then expect to get that last quarter of a mile, to victory. Just can't do it. You cannot do it. And that proved out. So a lot of the horses that were, in the hunt for the Derby on the first time down the stretch, it was brutal. It was brutal. At the 3/8 pole, you're looking and saying, oh my goodness, where are they going from there? Who is it going to be? And at that time, the way they were bunched up, it could have been any of them because they fanned out across the track and they were trying to run each other down and they were looking, at the horses ahead of them or beside them. And got into some pretty good duels there, with Epicenter, Zandon, Simplification. They were all right there. They were all hanging in there. It looked good. I said, man, oh, man. I said, what are you going to do? At the 3/4 pole, Rich Strike was 18.5 lengths behind the group. He come flying at the end. He come flying at the end, weaving his way in and out, in and out, in and out, and I said, oh my goodness. I said, this is unbelievable. You got four or five horses up there that are bidding for the win. And, I would have never thought it. And then all of a sudden, Rich Strike comes out of nowhere. They come out of nowhere. This horse just lit them up. And when I looked at the stats on Rich Strike, he held true to form. He held true to form. And I was really surprised, you know, to see this horse run like he did, because he was literally running to form that he had been all the way leading up to the Derby. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, oh, my goodness, this horse has run four times, and he was, like, out of control. He was out of control. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, oh, my goodness, look at this horse. He had four starts. He had one win, no seconds, two-thirds, and now he's $1,932,000 richer for his eight starts. He's got two wins, three-thirds, and $1,971,000 in total earnings. You know, I was really stunned that that happened. And he came out of nowhere. He literally did. He had a race that when he was first started out, he came out and he ran in a maiden special weight at Ellis Park in Henderson, Kentucky. And he didn't do very well. He ended up 10th and this was really bad. They run him again 1 month and 2 days later, and he breaks his maiden at Churchill Downs for a claiming tag. He breaks his maiden. Then after that, he waits approximately 5 weeks later. He runs at Keeneland an allowance optional claiming race. He ran third. So, you know, he's up and down on the, you know, where when he's running, he's just up and down. Okay, then he goes from Keeneland to the fairgrounds, and he runs in the Gunrunner Stakes. And he runs fifth in the Gunrunner Stakes on 12/26. Now, remember, he ran at 10/9 at Keeneland in an optional claiming race. Okay, and then he goes from the 1st of October to the end of December, and he runs in a stakes race, a black type race, graded race there, or black type race there for him, and it was unbelievable. He runs 5th. Well, that's par for the course. He'd been off a long time, you know, out of his usual training and workout habits. And so next thing you know, you see him, a month later, at Turfway Park in a stakes race, he runs 3rd. So that's par for the course. He's back on track. Then he runs, actually, 2 months later at Turfway again in John Battaglia Stakes, and he runs 4th. But he's a little off of his training because he's usually working every month and then racing every other month. And so, you know, he gets to John Battaglia and runs 4th. Okay, then he comes back a month later in April the 2nd, and he runs 3rd in a stakes race there, a grade 3 stakes race, the Jeff Ruby Stakes. So this horse is kind of like back on schedule, running every month. Okay, so then Lucas scratches out in the Derby, and we come in. And Rich Strike gets into the Derby 5/7, a month later after the Jeff Ruby Stakes, 2 months after the John Battaglia race. So now we're looking, you know, at what's he going to do? What does he do? He wins the Kentucky Derby. Totally, totally unorthodox, you know, way of coming, because, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. And so he wins the race. So I go back over and looking at it, all of his races. He normally breaks slow from the gate. He's a closer. He works every 3 or 4 weeks, races one race every 3 months leading to the Derby. From the Keeneland to Fairgrounds was his 47-day layoff, and he ran 5th. Breaks his maiden 20 days to at Churchill Downs. 20 days later, he runs at Keeneland. And, you know, it's just unbelievable, you know, how this horse runs. It's really unorthodox and really no set plan, really set plan other than, you know, I guess just what he's feeling good, we're going to work him, you know, that type of thing. And horses are creatures of habit, and they fall into the habit of running to, you know, the way they train. And this horse trained it was a very unusual route to the Derby. I wouldn't say every horse could get there to the Derby doing that. But, you know, like I said, he breaks slow. He's a closer, works 3 to 4 weeks, races one race every 3 months leading to the Derby. And, you know, you're thinking, like, what the heck's going on here? He was lucky. You got to run I mean lucky. And he's a skilled horse, but luck had a lot to do with it. He breaks from the 20 hole. They get him back down in behind the horses, and they run down the stretch the first time, and he's struggling. You know, he's in the back of the pack. And then he starts picking them off, you know, one by one real quick when he gets on the back stretch and gets to the head of the stretch, and then he just unleashes a tremendous run. And I don't want to say he was catching a bunch of tired horses, but he did catch them and everything. So and he runs on past them and wins, which is good. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and what Sonny Leone did and what the trainer did to get him there, they did all the right things for that day. And every horse has his day, and I'm glad that this horse had his day on Derby Day. Now, having said all that and the things that we're talking about in the horse industry and, you know, the rule of thumb and, you know, you see the Todd Pletchers and, you know, you see the D. Wayne Lucases and Steve Asmussens and see how they train, and they're methodical in how they train, and they win a lot of races and everything. And it's just the rule of thumb, as they say. But like Woody Stevens says, hey, if you could write a book about how to train a horse to get to the Derby, you know, I would. Woody would have written one, and he would have been, you know, 100 times a millionaire over. But you can't do that because every horse is different, every year is different, every track's different. And speaking of different tracks, now we're going to find out just how good, Rich Strike is, because we've got a 2-week turnaround. And that's something that Rich Strike has never done before. He's never gone 2 weeks in between races. Never gone, in between races 2 weeks. Now, that says a lot right there in itself, you know, to give you notice on how good this horse is. Going into the, after the Derby, he had 8 starts, and he never raced 2 weeks off another race, or 2 weeks off of a work. So that tells you a lot right there coming up for the Preakness. Now, with the Preakness is unique in itself. It's a 3-year-old race. A lot of the same horses are going to be, running against him in the Preakness. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. We know Epicenter is going, Secret Oath is going to the Preakness for sure. And we'll talk about her in just a little bit. Simplification was the first to arrive at Pimlico. And so now you got a lot of horses coming in and, that are fresh, that are going to be fresh off of them. So I was just looking at all the different ones. Not this time. Colt got there on Tuesday, which is a new shooter. It's going to be interesting to see, what happens with that. I said earlier today to a friend of mine, I said he's got his work cut out for him coming in. Epicenter will be there. We got Creative Minister will be there, which is a nice horse. He's a fresh horse that's coming in. We have horses that won't be there, Smile Happy, Crown Pride. A lot of them just, it was just not their time, you know, to do that and all. But getting back to, Rich Strike, he's got a lot of things in front of him that he didn't have in the Derby. one, you're going to be looking at a smaller field. And so it's going to be most likely that he will hook or get in a speed duel with one of them, or even more of them that come out of there. He's a closer, and he won't be used to being up on the front end. And it's possible that when they break him from the gate in the Preakness, he will be on the front end. Very, very realistic, way to look at it, the way I see it. Most people might not see it, but this is the way I see it. He's a closer. They're going to have to take him back. And when you have to take him back at Pimlico, it's tough because Pimlico Racetrack is an egg-shaped racetrack. It's not a complete oval like it is at Churchill. And that egg shape of the track, when you come out of the gate, you're literally into the first turn. And that's tough. So, depending on your post position and depending on, your horse, if you're a closer, it makes it tough because you get into that first turn, the horses are gone, and they've already got 15, 20 lengths on you. Easy. That could easily happen to them. And so, that's what we're looking at. It's a mile and 3/16, which is shorter than the Derby. And that plays a big part in it, too. Because if the Derby were a mile and 3/16, Brooks Strike would have never won the Derby. He won it in the last closing, last 150 yards, I'd say. The track's narrow. The track is very narrow. Churchill Downs is 80 feet wide. Pimlico, 70 feet wide. So it's much narrower. So that makes a big difference in the way your horse is going to be running and what lane he gets in. The turn, and the first turn is a lot sharper than it is at Churchill, that first turn. Then when you get down to the 3/8 pole coming around, it's egg-shaped, and it's got a long, sweeping turn that you have to go through. So that in itself can confuse a horse, when you're trying to get to the finish line. The horse is not, it's not usually, the 3/8 pole is not usually where it's at on most tracks, put it to you that way. So that turn is going to be a lot, it's a sweeping turn, and I have to know how to ride that turn. And that's, a lot of good jockeys have had a hard time with the turns at Pimlico. And they might have had the best horse, but they just didn't have that experience there. The other thing that comes up is that the Churchill Downs stretch is 1,234 feet long, which is a long stretch to run down. At Pimlico, it's 1,152 feet long. So that makes a big difference there in itself, with that pretty quick short turn. And you're looking at, a mile and a 3/16 opposed to a mile and a quarter. So having said all that, the thing that Sonny Leone, and believe me, I've never been a jockey. I can ride a horse, but I've never been a jockey. And so they're going to know the best how to do it. Jerry Bailey, Mike Smith, and all those guys can tell you what he's going to have to do that. But it's my opinion that it's going to be very difficult depending on what post position he gets. Now, if he can get an outside post position, he can get to the rail fairly quick at Pimlico. But when you're at the rail, you got to remember it's a real short stretch to the first turn. So that's going to put him, at the back of the pack, and depending on how many horses are in the field. He's going to have a wall of horses to get around that back stretch. And he's going to have to position himself down the back stretch in a good spot to where that he doesn't have to use up a lot of horse in the turn to get to the finish line. He's going to have to be close by the time he hits the turn, the second turn that he's got to go around, because he's not going to be able to weave his way in and out of horses like he did at Churchill at Pimlico, because it's a sweeping turn and it's a short stretch. It's a short stretch. And you got to remember that 152 feet is also compromised by being a mile and a 3/16 opposed to a mile and a quarter and 1,234 feet at Churchill. So people have got to realize that, you know, he's got a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. And it's gonna be tough. And I really don't see any post position, you know, that's going to benefit him at all at Pimlico, because he's a slow breaker. And he's already behind the eight ball, and when breaking slow, going into the turn, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough on him. He's going to have a long way to go, you know, to get there. And then the other thing that, you know, we were looking at, or I was looking at it this morning when it came out, Preakness is a week from this Saturday. So I said, you know, Rich Strike is a good horse. You know, it was just amazing how he ran. There was a horse called Arazi that ran quite a few years back, and this horse was like out of control. Arazi was an out of control horse. Whenever he broke, he went wherever he wanted. And the trainer told Tony, the jockey, he said, just hang on. He said, grab a handful of mane, hang on. He said, he knows where to go and he'll get you there. And he did. You know, he was a great, great horse. But now at Pimlico, the thing that's going to be interesting is he's got Epic Center is going to be there. He's got horses that are seasoned, that are battle, you know, battle scarred. They know what it's all about. They know today the Derby Day, the 3-year-olds that survived and are going on to Pimlico, they've got their battle underneath their belt. They know what they have to do and how they have to do it. And the jockeys know exactly how much horse they got under them. And a lot of these horses are used to running, you know, on a quick turnaround, not like, you know, Rich Strike was, you know, every 30 days and so forth, and never had to turn around 2 weeks, you know, to the next race. So that's going to be interesting to see how that, you know, that plays there. But one of the things that that I think is going to really be good, and I think that she'll probably win the Pimlico Preakness, is Secret Oath. She ran in the Kentucky Oaks, and I mean, she just lit them up. She just lit them up in the Oaks. She was just much the best horse. You know, she was really good at that. She come off a 4-week layoff of running in the Arkansas Derby against the Colts, which she fared very well. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, like, and I've seen her. She's a big horse. She is a big, big, big horse there. She knows what it's all about. D-Wayne's got her tuned in. He's got her planned right. The Oaks this year, she handled it very well. I was really, really amazed at how well she did in the Oaks. You know, to see her run, you know, how she broke from the gate. She did everything right. And, you know, it was amazing to see that happen with her, but it was typically a Wayne Lucas trained horse. And, she went by 2 lengths. She was 5 wide at the 3/8 pole, looked over and went in, you know, inward on there. And she really did good. I tell you, she might have done good in the Derby. She might have run very well in the Derby, depending on the post position that she got. You know, if she would have got into the Derby. I was thinking here when she inched clear near the 8th pole in the final stages under a heavy drive. She hung on. She hung on, and Ness was running at her. It was really good. I tell you, I don't think it would have been any different for either Nest or Secret Oath in the Derby. I think they both would have fared very well, you know, in there. So, you know, the exciting part about it is simplification is already there. And so, you know, we're looking at simplification and what he did. He ran a good Derby. You know, he was a victim, but he was a participant in the cavalry charge, you know, with him, and he ended up running fourth with Jose Ortiz in the irons. He was three and five wide, and stayed well. He held his ground, and so he wasn't catching them, and he wasn't yielding anything to the winner, you know, on him. He was right there at it. So the Preakness is going to be a whole, like I said, a whole different ball game with them. The 2 week turnaround. When do you ship to Pimlico? There's just a lot of things, you know, that this horse is going to be exposed to that he hasn't been exposed to. The crowd of Pimlico is good. It's just like it is at Churchill. And I think Rich Strike is a horse that kind of gets in. He feels the vibe. I think he knows where he's at. I think he knows what he's doing. You know, I think that all really plays a big part of it, you know. But the Pimlico track, I think, is going to be the biggest problem he's going to have. That's going to be tough because there will be a wall of horses in front of him. And he's going to have to be constantly running them down from the time they spring that gate until they run across the finish line. And I like the horse. I like the crew. I like everything about him. But I just don't think that he's that kind of horse. I really don't. I think that his training schedule, his eight races were too far apart and too sporadic. But again, I hope he wins. I really do. I hope he wins. And we'll see just what kind of horse he is going a mile and 3/16 a week from this Saturday. It's going to be interesting to see. I wish all the people that like him, that bet on him, and I wish they all good luck to him and to the crew. That's what we needed, was a horse like that in the business, something to get the public excited about it. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. You know, how much did he pay? You know, when's he running again? You know, a lot of people, he made national news. So that's going to be interesting. So that's my view on the Preakness. I got to see what the draw is next week. You can come to IENTV.org and watch the draw live next week. You can see what all is going on there. And then next Thursday, a week from today, we'll have our Preakness pick. And we'll have a lot of different things that are going on there at Pimlico. They've got a good horse show going in Maryland Preakness Week. There's a lot of good things going on, so it'll be all pretty much about Pimlico and Maryland racing next week. And we'll be talking about a lot of show horse stuff that's going on, both domestic and international, the sales that are coming up. And we literally will be kicking off how they get there coming up here at the Mid-Atlantic sales, 2-year-old and training sales that'll be coming up from Timonium, Maryland. It's May 23rd and 24th at 11 a.m. The under-tax shows start May 17th through the 19th at 8 a.m. at Timonium, Maryland. And we're going to be able to see some real nice horses there. And that's all a part of how they get there, our 2023 Kentucky Derby project that we'll be doing. And this is where owners have to decide, do they breed a homebred horse for the Derby, or do they go to the 2-year-old training sales and buy one, you know, or do they negotiate a syndicate and spend a lot of money to get a horse trying to get them to the Derby. But that's on how we get there. That'll be coming up next week. And one of the greatest things, other than hard to top, great Rich Strike doing what he did. One of the good things that that we have done in the horse business, and it's all breeds that it's been done. We've had several trainers, including Bob Baffert, that had Medina Springs last year that was disqualified from the Kentucky Derby win because of medication violations. And he had several medication violations prior to that in the past few years. And so he's been banned from racing for the next 2 years. It's going to be really tough for Bob to get back into the game with the bands at Churchill, Belmont, and Pimlico. hanging over his head, and you know, California, and probably just about any other state he'd try to get into. It's going to be difficult for him to do that and everything. But and then we have the standard bread industry, where they had hundreds of people that were indicted for violations, and had 29 that were violated for major violations. And there are people in jail now that are in there. There's a lot more that are going to jail, and they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines, you know, and going to jail for what they did. And what it was is that they were mislabeling drugs and giving them to them, to the horses. And, you know, the story's just a mile long and, you know, really too long to go into, but, you know, they got caught. And so the industry as a whole, from show horses to race horses, to anything involved in competition, the medication rules and regulations are being adhered to very strictly now. I mean, it's really, really good. And they finally have gotten it down to where they take a blood sample and a urine sample from the horses on the day that they run their race and win, you know, or lose. They do the winners, and then they do, you know, horses that also participated in the race. And the Kentucky Derby and Oaks Day competitors clear drug tests. And that's very good for the public now to know that when they're going to the races, they're going to see horses that are, you know, ready to go and approved. And it's really, really good to, you know, to have. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission reported May 11th that laboratory results taken from the horses that raced May 6th and 7th on Kentucky Oaks and Derby Day were clear of drug infractions. This includes post-race samples from the Longines Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve. The clear test contrasts those from the past 2 years when Gamey tested positive for an illegal substance in the 2020 Kentucky Oaks, and Medina Spirit also shown a prohibited race day presence of an illegal drug in the 2021 Kentucky Derby. Both horses were trained by Hall of Fame Bob Baffert, were ultimately disqualified and placed last. Michelon Peterson's Gamey was demoted from third in the Oaks. Was demoted from third in the Oaks. Send on racing stable Medina Spirit from first. So the filly finished third and was sent to last, and Medina Spirit finished first. You know, it was interesting what they said. Baffert attributed Gamey's positive test to an injection that came 18 days before the Oaks, outside the 14-day suggested withdrawal time. And Medina Spirit to the treatment of his violation to a cream that was used to treat a skin rash on the colt. Baffert had appealed the disqualification as well as the 90-day suspension and fined $7,500 against him. It was just interesting to see, you know, how they got on these tests right after this year's Derby, opposed to, you know, in the past. And that was good. And that's given the betting public, it's given, you know, a shot in the arm and saying, hey, you're getting horses that aren't going to be doped up because they're going to pay the ultimate price. When you get caught doping horses, you're going to pay the price. And it literally could end and does and has and will in trainers and owners' careers. So that, you know, the betting public is looking at that now. So now they can, you know, can go to the track with a better feeling. Because I know a lot of people that saw Rich Strike win the Derby and pay, you know, over $160, you know, for a $2 bet. You know, a lot of people say, well, wonder what he was on. You know, well, he wasn't on anything because he passed the blood test. You know, he was not on anything illegal. That was just a horse running. You know, that was his pure out talent right then and there. And so that's good to know that in all the equestrian industry now, you can go out and you can watch an event show horses, standard breds, thoroughbreds, quarter horse racing, and know that you're going to get a horse that's healthy and ready to go. And all these horses are inspected every day before they run. Then on race day, they're inspected by veterinarians, and they're flexed, and they make sure that they're not sore or off anywhere. And if they pass all those tests and they do the pre-race, blood work and things of that thing and urine samples, then, they're good to go. And so you're getting 100% the real deal every time you go see them. And then something that I've been seeing for 2 years now and trying to, get going here at IEN, which has been tough. It's hard to get, financing and things, to bring programs and to get your ideas on, together. But with BBS and my website, we've seen a positive swing in the right direction for everything that we're doing, here. A lot of the things that that I've done in the past 2 years have been on the cutting edge. Nobody else is doing it. And to this day, still nobody's doing it. What we're doing is we're becoming a website and that is wanting to be the world's largest distributor of equine information. And so we're rebuilding the website. We know how we're going to have it, how it's going to be. And you'll be able to come to our website and click on, for example, like 8 at the Wire. At the Wire is going to be, a 30-minute show every week on our website that we have that will be about the thoroughbred industry. And it'll be on Thursdays like it is here on BBS. And, we'll talk about racing. We'll talk about a little bit about everything. It's strictly on thoroughbreds. We have Flying Turns, which also is going to be on Thursday. And it's going to be about the harness racing industry, the standard bred industry. We have Last Call, which is going to be about sale horses of all breeds. We have Chucker, which is about polo, both domestic and international, that's going to be on. So there's so many things that we're doing. And the key to our industry and the success of the of our industry depends on distribution. Every racetrack has their own in-house reporting and marketing and media center. Same for the show horses and the standard breds and everything involved with the horse industry. They have their own media and marketing. And for years now, it's been tough to go to TV because you go to NBC or you go to USA Network or whatever network you go to, whatever platform you choose, whether it's radio or television, it's very expensive. It's very expensive. And you don't see, the distribution of that information too often. And having said that, and the reason why that I did it is because it was very difficult for horse people to follow the trades, as they say, and, to pick up that magazine, to pick up that newspaper, racing form, or whatever, because, you're looking at an everyday thing, and it's really kind of tough to be doing that. So this has been many years ago, I got this concept of being the world's largest distributor of equine information. And basically what we do at IEM is we created a website that with one click, you can go directly to the current information for that discipline or that breed of horses. For example, like at the Wire, what we'll do is we'll take 5 of the top tracks in the country that are racing now, like Churchill, Pimlico, Belmont, Santa Anita, that type of thing. We'll have that on there, and we'll have a little intro to that track, what's going on that week, what's coming up on that week, and with one click, it takes you directly to that track's website to where you can watch racing live. We'll do the same thing for the show horse industry. you'll be able to click onto our show, our programming called Quest for Equine Gold, which is the show horse industry. You click on our website, you go to Quest for Equine Gold, and then you can go to any of the shows that you would like to see, both domestic and international. We're going to have live and tape programming. It's just going to be amazing. You'll be able to sit down at your computer and literally go around the world and go to all sports, all disciplines, and find something that you're, you know, looking at. And along with the help of the equestrian industry, for example, let's say the people that we have here at Sunshine Meadows that are showing right now, our show horse people, they can come to the website. They will be able to go to our website, Quest for Equine Gold, and they can follow the people that are showing here that have traveled up to Pittsburgh to participate in the IEA National Championships. So, you know, even though they're not up there, but their teammates are, they'll be able to watch it with a couple of clicks, and they're there. And same thing with the, you know, horse racing and the horse sales. You know, we'll have live programming that you can tap into and go from there. Now, like this year, for example, NBC, for example, they bought out USA Network. And so that's a platform that they use. It's another tier to their programming. And they worked out some pretty good program, some deals over the years. And NBC is actually going to be dropping NBC Sports, and they'll be having USA Network as the platform. And so like this year, pretty much started at 10:30 in the morning on the USA Network, and then it went to the national network on NBC at 2:30 in the afternoon. And so that was something, you know, that, you know, they're starting to catch on, saying, hey, it's about distribution. It's not about just NBC Sports or ABC or, you know, CBS Sports. It's about NBC altogether and how can they get it out there. And now we've got the platforms that we're using. We're using the internet. You know, we're using all kinds of television networks, from local stations to regional to national stations, you know, to get the product out there. And a good example of showing you what has happened by doing this, by NBC starting to do it, and hopefully someday we'll be up there big, you know, with what we're doing, but we're satisfied now, or I'm satisfied now with what we're doing, you know, here with it. It's growing, and it's just a matter of me getting, you know, getting to work and get it done. But NBC Sports presentation of the 148th Kentucky Derby presented by the Woodford Reserve, Grade 1, May 7th, Churchill Downs, Thriller. One was won by Rich Strike by 80-1 shot, and it was just unbelievable. It says, the average total audience delivery of 16 million viewers, marking the eighth consecutive year that the event has topped the 15 million mark, excluding the pandemic impact events. With 16 million viewers, the 2022 Kentucky Derby was the most watched run for the Roses since 2019. Viewership peaked at 19 million viewers from 7 to 7:15 Eastern Time on NBC. And so that goes to show you that, you know, that a lot of these things, you know, that we're doing now is just proven out, you know, what they were doing. They had a multitude of outlets that funneled their programming right into NBC, you know, national and international. And so that was something that, you know, we were excited about. And then when Rich Strike wins, you know, no telling how many people will be watching the Preakness, you know, and the Belmont and you know, the Derby and what leads up to the Derby next year. It says, this was the largest Kentucky Derby peak audience since 2017. Exceeding 18.5 million for 2019, disqualification of maximum security that elevated Country House to first. The TV only average audience of 15.8 million viewers is NBC's most watched programming since Super Bowl Sunday. NBC reported that overhead replay of the race with Larry Collins called has been viewed more than 36 million times, a record for a Derby clip across NBC Sport flagships, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, and International Equine Network, led by the Peacock, which live streamed the Kentucky Derby for the first time. This event posted a record average of a minute audience of 247,300 viewers across NBC Universal streaming platforms. This was taken from the Louisville, Fort Myers, Cincinnati, West Palm Beach, Buffalo, and Baltimore, all topped the markets for the television of the Derby, ratings for the Derby. So basically what they're saying is that, you know, it's about, in an odd way, they're not saying it like I'm saying it. I'm saying it's about distribution. And that's what it's all about. It's about distribution. I don't care what kind of platform it is. I don't care where it's at. I don't care how big you are, how small you are. It's all about the distribution. And we're a part of that distribution for all these equestrian sports. The Rolex this year did very well on their distribution. The three-day Rolex at Lexington did very well. We're going to see how the Preakness does coming up here, you know, a week from Saturday, how their television ratings are, if it went up or if it went down, you know, just what it's going to be like. But, you know, you can take an iPhone now and you can watch live racing. You can, you know, do it on a laptop in your house. You know, you can do it through various cable, you know, internet outlets, you know, to it. It's all about distribution. And once you have the distribution, the next goal and most crucial point of all these projects is the fact is how do you present the programming? You got to make it good for, you know, the people to watch. And you can't just limit it to horse people. You have to make your programming interesting so that non-horse person can watch it and be entertained and educated about the equine industry. And one of the things that we have on our website is how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. We have on there one segment. It's about Steve Norman. He's a blacksmith, and he shod some of the best horses in the world over the years. It's just amazing how many, you know, Derby winners and Breeders' Cup winners this guy, you know, has put shoes on it. And he explains to in the video how, you know, why you put them on there, how you put them on there, you know, the importance of the shoe. We've got on there Hallway Feed. Hallway Feed is the best feed company in the world. Their distribution is worldwide, and they all come right out of Lexington, Kentucky. And so, you know, you see how they make the feed. You see how they do distribution. You see how horses are transported, you know, by truck and in the air and by barge and you know, all those type of things. And so that's the kind of program that we're doing here, is to make it interesting for everybody. You know, like last week, we ran Derby Week and everything. We ran a documentary on Secretariat. We did that. We've run documentaries on show horses and on standardbreds. You know, and you know, you're looking at an hour-long movie that it's good for the whole family. You know, so everything we're doing there is we're trying to educate, you know, our clients and our potential viewers. So what we hope you do is you check us out at IENTV.org. You can call me at 561-466-1272. Or email me at ienequinetv@gmail.com and give me your ideas on the website, what you'd like to see. So I've rattled on enough for this week. I'm getting excited about the Preakness coming up a week from this Saturday. Next week we'll have our Preakness show, and we'll have our debut of the Quest for Equine Gold and all the shows that we will be bringing to you in the show horse industry. And go from there. So this is Scott Miller, hoping that you'll join us next week at the International Equine Network Equine Report on next Thursday. It's next Thursday. So just join us and, you know, let us know how you feel and what you do. And I'm worn out and I'm through for the day. I'm going to have me a coffee and take it easy. Join us next week on the International Equine Report.